Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on an awesome Sunday night. And this is a ministry where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Always great to be here on Sunday night. Great to have you tuned in. And remember, if you want to hear any of the shows going back to 2009, you can go to www.giftofgraceministries.org. That's giftofgraceministries.org. And all the shows are archived there. And again, I'd like to say that they all also go out on the podcast. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast or just access it, you can go search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. And there's, I think, about 360 or so podcasts there. And there's also a YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. I know it's a complicated title. One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. And go there, see what you think, subscribe, and enough advertising. Now let's get to the lesson. Tonight we're going to kind of carry on from what we did the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks we're in Acts chapter 10. And it was about Peter going to Cornelius' house to preach to Cornelius and his family and his friends. And we see that Peter went and took six Jewish believers with him, or as they're called here, circumcised believers with him. And while Peter was preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius' household. And there was a little bit of amazement. Well, actually, it says they were astounded. That's more than a little bit of amazement. They were astounded that the Holy Spirit had fallen on this household full of Gentiles. And these non-covenant people, these Gentiles, who were not in the Mosaic covenant, of course, were praising God, praising in tongues, and generally filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, in the same way as we're going to see tonight, that phrase, in the same way, is going to be important. This happened in the same way as the people in the upper room were baptized in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that there were flames. It doesn't say there was a mighty rushing wind, but the Spirit fell on everyone who was in the house. And Peter now kind of realizes, and he says this before he goes, and now he realizes this for sure, that God shows no partiality. He sees now that the message of salvation is for everyone. It isn't just for the people in the covenant. It's not just for the people of Israel. So this is a really exciting, important turning point, because now we're going to see how Gentiles, non-Jews, you know, you have to keep in mind, it's a pretty interesting idea that everybody in the world, when it comes to Scripture, is classified as a Jew or not a Jew. You know, those of us that grow up with, those of us that use computers and binary code and all that, you know, everything is either a zero or a one. And it's pretty much the same in God's economy of people. Everybody's either a zero or a one, either a Jew or not a Jew. And the not a Jew, of course, includes, you know, I don't even want to say the vast majority, 99.999% of the people in the world. But this is the distinction that's important. But now we're moving to a point where the distinction is going to be not important, or not nearly as important. And it's going to show how all the things that came through the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and all the things that were presented in the Torah, all the things that were presented by the prophets, actually point to Messiah coming and bringing salvation, not only to them, but to the nations. And the prophet Isaiah is rich with this in his book, and I would suggest that you go into the podcast, and there's quite a few teachings about Gentiles coming into the kingdom. And anyway, so this is what it all was pointing to. So after this exciting time at Cornelius's house, something interesting happens. And we're going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit. But if we go to, we're going to go to Acts chapter 11. We're going to go to Acts chapter 11. And it starts out, I just want to read the first couple of verses, the first three verses, because it's so indicative of how people think. You know, we live in a time where even if the world is going down a moral abyss and the great falling away has happened before our eyes that Paul talks about, it's happened before our eyes, and even if we have, you know, Christianity is supposed to confront the culture, even with all this going on, we still have bickering among denominations and bickering within churches and disagreement about whether we should sit over here or sit over there, and disagreement over here about whether the candle should be over here or over there, and all this nonsense that takes away from the power of the gospel. But you're going to see this very much alive at the beginning of Acts chapter 11, which apparently is immediately after the episode at Cornelius's house, because it says, verse 1, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, 'You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them.'" Now, they didn't say, "Hey, Peter, great job. Wow, you must have preached another terrific sermon. We heard about what happened, and wow." No, they confronted him. You know, the word there means there was a standoff. They went to accuse him of something. They seem upset about this, and they want an explanation of how would Gentiles possibly be accepting the gospel, and how did you go to their house? You know, how can we have fellowship with Gentiles? How can we have, quote, communion, unquote, with Gentiles? So they got the news pretty quickly, and they want Peter to give them an explanation. And you notice nobody's saying, "Wow, isn't this great that salvation is now going to spread to the ends of the earth, just like Yeshua, Jesus, said in the Great Commission." No, it's, "How could this possibly be happening? We want an explanation. Peter, why in the world did you go over there?" So they're still thinking that all of this, all of the scripture, all of the plan is for them. And it's certainly not going to include Gentiles. And as they confront Peter, and the charge they lay out is, "You went to the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them." Cornelius and his family apparently had snacks and refreshments at their home group that they were having, and Peter apparently ate some of it, which, of course, by the law and tradition, you were not supposed to go to a Gentile house. You were not supposed to associate them with them, and you certainly were not supposed to eat with them. So they imply Peter's violated the law in some way. So you notice nobody's thinking about the Great Commission. Just like, you know, we think all these biblical people, you know, they knew the scriptures and they knew what Jesus said and they knew. Well, even the women on Easter morning didn't remember that he had told them he was going to rise on the third day. And when the angel pointed it out to them, it says, then they remembered. They go back and tell Peter and John, who say, "Oh, this is a fable. This sounds like some kind of unbelievable story." Then they remembered what he had told them. because that's how we are. That's how we are. And Martin Luther, I like to quote a quote by Martin Luther when he said, we have to hear the gospel over and over again because we're so mule-headed. Because we forget even the basis of salvation. Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought about that a few days ago, but I wasn't thinking about it anymore. So these people think this is all for them, not for non-covenant, unclean people. So they're thinking because of their background, because of the Old Testament scriptures, because of what the Torah says, I don't want to say the prophets because the prophets pretty clearly state that the nations are going to be involved in this as well. But certainly from the Torah, these leaders in Jerusalem, now these are not, I should point out, and you know this, these are not the Pharisees. This is not the Sanhedrin we're talking about. This is not the high priest we're talking about. We're talking about believers in Jesus. We're talking about the circumcised believers in Yeshua the Messiah. So they have come to faith in the Messiah. They've given their lives to Jesus. They've repented of their sins. They understand now that he's the Messiah, that he's the Savior. And they still seem to think that they need to be separated from the Gentiles. You know, did they think it would be fruitless to tell the Gentiles the word with a capital W? Did they think it would be fruitless to tell these unclean Gentiles the message of salvation? Why, you know, Peter, that's, it seems like you kind of wasted your time on that. What are you doing over there? What are you doing telling them this? Because this word, this long scriptural history is our history, not theirs. And a few months ago, these guys were worshiping the Roman gods. Now, what are you doing going to their house? I mean, this is serious business, Peter, and you better think about what you did. So Peter, well, Peter stands up. You know, sometimes Peter's hesitant, sometimes he's afraid, sometimes he's bold. And the issue is that so is everybody else. You know, so is everybody else. You know, we're living in a time where religious freedom is being threatened all over the world. And, you know, the other day when the Supreme Court sided with the Little Sisters of the Poor about the contraception and abortion mandate that's in Obamacare, I thought that was terrific. And then, you know, when you think about it, here's this organization of simple, humble nuns who spend their whole lives just helping the poor and taking care of needy senior citizens that stand up to the world and say, we don't want to pay for things that we think are immoral. But yet, we didn't hear that from a priest, a bishop, a minister, a messianic rabbi. I can't remember one time when someone got on the news and said, this is a threat to our religious freedom. This is the government controlling how we spend our money in things that we feel are immoral, that we feel violate God's law. But these poor nuns who live their whole lives in humility, and I don't know much about them, but obviously they live their lives in humility and helping others, stand up to this. They have the courage to stand up. And, you know, it's the spirit of Elijah when he stood in front of King Ahab and said, King, you're the problem here, not me. You're the one who's brought immorality to the country, not me. And we hear nobody now in the church even mention this, which is just pathetic. But anyway, that's another story. Come to One in Messiah on Friday nights in Parma if you want to hear about that. We meet at 6:15 p.m. at 5994 Ridge Road in Parma. That's more preaching. This is more teaching, so sorry about that. But anyway, so Peter stands up and he recounts the whole episode to these guys. I mean, he tells them what happened. You know, I was praying. These unclean animals come. The Lord said, take and eat. He said, no way. I'm not touching that. Never did that. Not going to do it now. Then I see that God shows no partiality. Men from Cornelius's house came. We went to his house. We found out that Cornelius himself, a Gentile, a Roman official, had a vision of an angel. And here's this unclean, uncircumcised Gentile who has a vision of an angel who tells him to send for Peter and tells him exactly where Peter is and said, Peter has to come and tell you something that you must hear. You have to hear the message of salvation. It's nice that you're praying. It's nice that you're giving alms, but you have to hear the message of salvation. So Peter recounts all this. And he says, the Holy Spirit came down while I was still preaching, while I was still telling them the word. Peter takes his time to explain this whole thing, and that he also adds that it's through the Holy Spirit that this happened, that the word he got to go with these men to Cornelius's house was from the Holy Spirit, who also told him, have no doubts about this. Just go with these men, because I'm telling you, go with these men. And don't have your own human doubts. This has all been set up. And then he explains that while he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Because the message of salvation was going out to this group. And again, it's confirmed with signs and wonders. The message was always confirmed with signs and wonders, and still is. So the Holy Spirit falls on the household. And the fact that this has happened, the fact that the Holy Spirit was poured out on this household, puts this whole matter beyond dispute. Because now these guys don't know what to say. Because that's something that they cannot argue with. That's something that they cannot contend against. This is not something that they can refute in some way or criticize in some way or even condemn in some way, because there was an outpouring of the Spirit. And interestingly, though, Peter, in kind of a, you know, more human moment, kind of a defense on his own behalf, he says, well, I took six other circumcised believers with me. I didn't go there by myself. I took these other six guys. So it wasn't just me. Seven of us went, which is nice. And again, you had men who were in the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant, the covenant of law, were Jews who had become believers in Yeshua, and they witnessed the fact that the Holy Spirit had fallen on a house full of Gentiles. And it is going back to the word astounded. It says in the passage, they were astounded by this. This was beyond anything that they had thought about. Because as traditions grew up in Judaism, just like they also have in Christianity, and that's a whole other story, but as tradition grew up in Judaism, it became, quote, understood, unquote, that when Messiah came, he was going to reestablish David and Solomon's kingdom. And he was going to be a powerful military leader, an economic leader, a powerful governor, a king. And all the Gentiles were going to be amazed that in Jerusalem, there was this awesome guy who was in charge of things. This is what they came to think about. This is not what the Torah says. You know, the gospel's first proclaimed in Genesis 3:15. You can read that for your homework. Genesis 3:15. It's the first promise of a redeemer. It's the first place in the scripture where God promises he's going to take care of the problem that Adam and Eve have now created. Genesis 3:15, amazing. It's the proto-gospel. But all through the Old Testament. The indications are that Messiah is going to come, sin is going to be dealt with, the other nations, meaning the Gentiles, are also going to be involved. But like I say, we don't always remember what the word says, especially in our day and age, since no one knows anything about the word. This was the similar situation then. They had heard Jesus himself say these things. They knew what the prophets, every Saturday morning they heard the readings. But still, they're astounded that something spiritual has happened to a Gentile. But now it was beyond dispute. And then it gets down to, I love verse 16 and 17, where Peter says, "Then I remembered the word of the Lord." See, then he remembered. Then he remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "God indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I would withstand God?" So now this is our guy Peter, who's just making another profound statement. And the profound statement is, I remembered then, all my fellow Jewish believers were saying, "Wait a minute, how is this possible?" We're astounded. We're not minimally surprised. We're not a little bit puzzled by this. We're not, you know, we don't think it's just kind of nice. They were astounded. And Peter says, while they were being astounded, he, Peter, remembered what Jesus said. And what he remembered was, John baptized with water, but you're all going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And, of course, at that passage, Jesus also adds, and it's going to happen within a very few days. You're not going to have to wait a very long time for this. He even tells him it's going to happen within a very few days. And it was, 9 to 10 days later. So Peter remembers this. And then with a tremendous insight, which of course the Holy Spirit gives him, he says, if God gave them the same gift he gave us, how can we withstand that? In other words, how can we think we're the only special ones if they got the same gift of the Spirit that we got? He says, God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed. When we believed. And when we got together and we prayed in that upper room. And the Holy Spirit fell on us. Now, these people were Gentiles. They were praying in a house. They were listening to a word being preached by Peter, and that very same Spirit fell on them. So how can we fight against this? How can we withstand this? How can we say, well, wait a minute, that can't be right. We were there when it happened. So these men who are questioning him, basically, almost interrogating him, and they have, it would be a totally radical thought for them that Gentiles could be brought into the kingdom, that Gentiles could be brought to repentance in the Messiah, and that Gentiles could be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they became silent. Peter says, how can we withstand this? How can we fight against God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It dawns on them now, with Peter's beautiful explanation, that God has granted Gentiles now a promise of salvation. Gentiles now can repent, can come to Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, and can come to life just like they did. So this is I love this passage. So, verses 1 through 18, I should have said this was, but But please read the whole passage for your homework. And it's really, after Pentecost, this is a clear message of what's going to happen and what's going to happen shortly with Gentiles all over the known world. Oh, I hear music playing already. Oh, I still have more stuff. Well, anyway, we'll do this again next week. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and join us again next week where we'll read and teach God's word and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have a great week.